Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
1 week from today, the University of Houston will be playing football. We think anyway. I don't know. Who knows? They got Tulane next Thursday night. So I'm going to bring Dana in here. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. Damaris Barbecue, 2 locations on Shepherd. Been there forever. You can go see Frankie and Billy and Miss Helen and everybody over there. Or you can get to 18th Street, and they've got the bar. They've got all the college football and NFL games. He's got the NFL package over there and all the college football games that you could possibly want to watch. You haven't been able to watch your Cougs, unfortunately, but you can just go and hang out and watch all the other games that are going on. And hopefully the Cougs are actually going to play. They're actually going to be able to play next Thursday night. And Dana Holgorsen, I believe, is he here? No. He said he was going to be with us, but I don't know. So we'll try and get Dane. I'm going to tell him to give us a call if he can. If not, 713-780-3776. Anyway, Damaris Barbecue just got a commercial. Either way, Damaris Barbecue got a commercial for us. Let me get him. You calling in? Okay. So either way, the Cougs are supposed to play Tulane next Thursday. And that's going to be here. And then BYU, bro. How about BYU? BYU looks pretty damn good.
Yeah. And they face some opponents right off the bat. You know, it's going to be – I wonder how tough it's going to be for Houston to wait that long to play a game. Everyone else is going to have their feet under them.
Well, everybody else is – there's some teams played 4 games already.
Yeah.
University of Houston is sitting there waiting and
cancel,
waiting.
Cancel, cancel.
Cancel, cancel, cancel.
Actually, 4 canceled games in 3 weeks.
He said he's going to call game day. He's in meetings right now. He did tell me he was going to do today, but unfortunately he's not.
Yeah, I called the football administration, whatever that number is, and they didn't even answer the phone. I guess we'll talk to him next Thursday.
So he said his schedule was messed up. I was talking to Dorr, his football ops guy, Ryan Dorchester, and he said since March started, he puts together the entire week. Every week, he puts together the entire week. There's not been 1 week that they haven't had to make adjustments, that they have got to do what they scheduled to do for the week, that not 1 week since March that really? They've been able to do it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. That's the kind of year that they're having over there. And it's just, he says, man, the kids, it says it's hard. He said there were tears in kids' eyes when they found out that they couldn't play Baylor.
That stinks.
And then, yeah, because they've worked so hard. This is July, mm-hmm. August, and now all of September, 3 months that they have been practicing and wanting to play games that they haven't been able to play. So it sucks. It really, really sucks. And hopefully they'll be able to play next Thursday. And then Dana said he's calling on game day. So he'll give us a call on game day, and hopefully that will happen.
Well, you're the team who is not playing until Monday is the Houston Astros, as they're moving forward. And you know, it's a weird – I know this much. Looking at the NBA right now, I don't think there's any chance because LeBron's in it. We had talked about if somebody would say, oh, this NBA championship doesn't count. It's going to count. Whether it's Jimmy Butler winning a championship or LeBron, mm-hmm. it's going to count. They're going to – no one's going to say anything. In baseball, it is weird. I mean, it is weird to see the Astros get out. It, obviously – short series favor the Astros' chances. I'm not saying it favors the Astros were underdogs in this last series, but and they'll be underdogs in any series. But short series favor you've got a 3 that definitely favored them. You got a 5. When I say it favors them, it favors their chances. Well, you got a 5 that favors their chances, but you're gonna at some point have to get to a bullpen. Yesterday, Presley did his job. Brooks Raley, not really.
No.
Not really.
I want to see Blake Taylor.
But Javier has been great, and Fromber was great. When I said have been great, they both had great appearances. They did what they had to do. It's really a non-starter. I mean, John, it's non-negotiable. Whoever is in that pen from the starting line, from the rotation, must do a great job in long innings.
If there is somebody from the rotation that's going to be in there. Because we're just assuming that, you know, that game one starter is going to pitch game 5. You might go Urquidy, Greinke, McCullers, Javier, and Fromber in whatever order, and those are your 5 starters. And now you got to depend on the bullpen for the rest.
Why would you do that?
Well, because you don't want to start somebody in a game 5 on 3 days rest.
Here's the thing, you may not even get to a game 5 if you don't help your bullpen out.
Right.
And you're going to have to at some point manage like it's a game. Game 2 could end up being like a game 7, even though there's only 5 games.
Boy, when you look at other pens, and I saw, you know, I was watching last night, and in comes Andrew Miller. I'm like, oh,
I know.
Oh my God.
That guy's been coming in for years
you
for
got
different
Andrew
teams.
Andrew Miller, how awesome for you and your people. And the Yankees bullpen, and it's just like, it's so good. And you're like, oh my gosh. Well, the Astros bullpen was fantastic, but because they used starters. Now, I don't know, do you approach it like that? Do you keep on doing the same thing? Keep Fromber and Javier and go with a 3-man rotation and then, you know, and then a bullpen game in game 4 or what, and then you slap it around, whatever you do, slap something together for game 5? I don't know. Or you work your game 1 starter and 3 days rest? I don't know, because this was certainly a recipe for success, what they did these 2 days in Minnesota. And it was a recipe for disaster all season long with this bullpen.
Well, but the other thing is, you know, the Twins were terrible.
Yeah.
The Twins couldn't hit with men in scoring position. They weren't clutch at all.
They didn't have many men
in scoring position. No, the Astros pitchers did a good job. But one of the things that we said coming into this is it's just so unusual to see a rotation that you thought was going to be trouble headed into the season. You know, once you got past Greinke, you weren't sure. Well, we're just not sure. You know, you're going to have Urquidy. You'll have Justin Verlander. You'll have Greinke. Lance McCullers is coming back. Then Urquidy was out. Yikes. Then Verlander was out. It's like, holy crap, this is going to be a disaster. And they've got a bunch of young guys in the bullpen. Then it turned into bullpen's not very good. You're finding that out quick. But Fromber's way better than he had been. And then, you know, Javier is turning into a pitcher. Now you get to the postseason, and I really trust the starters. I really, for the most part, trust the starters. I think McCullers, you know, we know he can be up or down, but when he's good, he's very, very good. Christian Javier's turned into a really – he is just such a confident pitcher. For his age, he is such a confident pitcher, and so is Fromber now. Fromber has figured out that curveball. And Dusty Baker even said, when they asked him about keeping him in, he said, look, he entices double plays and ground balls and double plays. And that is kind of an analytics move for Dusty to stay with him. Now, I have no doubt that he would have never even made it to that inning. AJ would have come with a closer. He would not have gone to Fromber to close the game out. That wouldn't have happened. AJ, that's not his move. AJ believed, yes, I know. He went with Peacock one time for 3-plus innings, and we know about the Charlie Morton situation, but the fact is A.J. Hinch typically believed in using bullpens and trusting his guys to do their jobs. Nobody is trusting Ryan Pressly to do his job, and Ryan Pressly is way ahead of, you know, on the trust meter, he's probably ahead of Brooks Raley and most of those guys in there other than Blake Taylor, who, by the way, this is his first year, you know, throwing for you as well. So I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know this. If the starters, if you can find one or two hot relievers who figure it out and get on a little bit of a roll – Minnesota clutched up in their mind. Who's to say that the A's won't? Who's to say if the A's get through that the A's won't clutch up a little bit in that position?
How will you feel about Blake Taylor coming in?
I'm okay. I know he hasn't been the same.
How would you feel about a scrub coming in?
It probably has to do with his name, but he also hasn't been great lately.
How would you feel about a cannoli coming in?
No.
No?
Oh, Enoli Paredes, cannoli. Biagini's gone. Biagini. That you're going Italian. No, see, Paredes, his numbers are actually okay, but he throws such a flat pitch that I just think they could beat him around the yard, depending on who ends up in the second round. So he's okay. They would go to him because he's a potential strikeout pitcher. Oh, he's going to have – so you just named three guys who will pitch in this series for sure, yeah. 100%.
What about a Josh James coming in?
I think Josh James – will probably pitch.
You do? What about is it...
And Presley, and that's it, unless you go to extra innings. There's nobody else. You're not going... Well, he did go to Brooks Raley yesterday.
What about... I wonder if they expanded, because they had 12 pitchers on this roster with just the three games.
Oh, yeah,
series.
You'll get a new roster.
You probably get a 13 pitchers in this one.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, they put a Chas McCormick on the team, and...
How about Kirilloff? How about
that?
The Twins throwing a rookie in who had never had an at-bat, and he rakes a single, hits it hard, because they just said, this kid has got a chance to be special. We're going to pull him up. So his first game in the majors is in the playoffs, in an elimination game. He gets a base hit, and then they spend about... And then Carl Ravitch was just, Tim Kirk can continue to tell him, well, even though that's a base hit, technically, it won't count as a hit. It won't be his first hit in major leagues. Because it's not a regular season hit. And Carl Ravitch said, that doesn't make any sense. He just got a hit. I just saw it's a hit.
No.
Well, we don't count it as a hit. So, unfortunately, even though it's a hit, he's not going to count it as a hit. But that doesn't make any sense, Tim. Why would that not be a hit? Well, it's just because it's a postseason. If you look at a player like... when you look at a great
Lefty
player
Gomez.
Like...
Gomez.
Yeah.
A three fingers brown. Yeah.
I mean,
it'll be interesting to see if a Chas
Derek
McCormick...
Jeter's got over 200 hits in the postseason, and none of those count towards his 3,641 hits for his career.
What do you think about what would you think if a Cy Snead comes into the game?
8-11 here on the bench. We'll be getting to LSU, Brian.
How would you feel about that?
We'll get to Chuck, 713-780-3776.
Tell me your feelings, Lance.
713-780-3776. He can't make a playoff roster, can he?
Yeah, he's on the playoff roster.
No, the next round.
Yeah.
There's no... You can't pull somebody up from double A. Well, there's
he's
no
had,
double
he's,
A.
He's had plenty of
Can
rest
Can you get
now.
Somebody from
he's
the Skeeters?
Had plenty of rest now,
Can
you know?
Somebody from the independent league be pulled in?
There's no independent league anymore.
What about Fernando Rodney? Is he still alive?
Fernando Rodney. Whatever happened to Fernando Rodney?
Obviously wasn't
here?
Any good.
Well, what do you mean?
They put him with the little teaser team, and they said, let's see what you got. Obviously wasn't much. Because if you couldn't make it on this bullpen,
yeah.
You can't make it. Which, to be fair,
what did
a 40-plus...
Peter think about his hat?
Not much, but he might not have been on Inky's team. Might have been on Roger's team. Roger probably wouldn't have liked it either.
No, Roger don't like that. 812 ESPN 97.5. LSU Brian and Chuck, you guys are first up when we come back right here. Don't go anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Guys, this fall, as you get back into the swing of things, Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collections for guys. It's guaranteed to upgrade your life. Really cool stuff in here. Whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers, you've got cozy clothing and threads for when the temperature dips. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every single month. That's why it's called Bespoke. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, outdoor gear. Really, really awesome. Tell you what, I love the Weekender bag right now, which is part of the Box of Awesome. Or how about this one? The Layers is something that you can get with flannel shirt, and it's brushed flannel. They've got boot socks to match as well. This is your opportunity to get started. Take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick out the perfect box for you. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
ESPN 97.5, 703-780-3776, 703-780-3776.
Here's who they had. They had Minnesota. The sports reporter had Minnesota over Tennessee.
That's a winner.
Pittsburgh over Houston.
That's a winner.
And in college.
Well, that's two
Oklahoma
winners.
Oklahoma over Kansas State by 41. Did that win?
Did what?
Oklahoma over Kansas State by 41.
That barely missed.
Did just lose? Florida over Ole Miss by 28. That was a winner.
That was a winner.
By 28?
Well, they said they'd win by 28, but they had them covering. They covered.
Minnesota covered. That's what they predicted.
Minnesota covered.
What was Minnesota was the favorite? I thought we talked about them being the favorite going.
No.
Tennessee, they were dog.
Okay.
Not by game time. I think it's two.
Two.
It must have flipped.
And they lost by one.
They should have covered.
Because early in the week, we're like, why is Minnesota the favorite? So I guess it flipped.
Yeah. Cincinnati over Army by 27. They didn't get the cover there.
I think that didn't cover.
703-780-3776. Football this week, they like Arizona on the road at Carolina, and they love Detroit plus the points against the Saints. Saints, a Sunday night turnaround game, and they're not the same without Mike Thomas.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Since we're talking about the lines, we are going to pick. Justin is in a golf tournament tomorrow, and it starts at 10, so he can't do 10 o'clock. So he's going to do – no, I think it starts at 8 tomorrow. 10 today. So it can't be on at 10 tomorrow. So we're going to do 7:30 a.m. tomorrow morning and beat the limo guy. So let's pick tomorrow morning's contestant right now. Well, we'll do it at 8:30. At exactly 8:30, you call 703-780-3776. And at 7:30 tomorrow, you will play beat the limo guy. If you're caller number 10, at exactly 8:30, 713-780-3776. If you're caller number 10, you're going to play Beat the Limo Guy, and you'll be playing for a $200 gift certificate to Del Frisco's and the limo ride there and back.
So for people listening, there's a couple things you have to navigate. First, it seems like you've all figured out that don't call now. Call at 8:30 and be number 10. And also, only call in if you're going to be up at 7:30 tomorrow morning.
Right.
If you're not up, you're not helping us. You're just taking away a spot from somebody else.
Right. If you're not going to be up, then and you're not going to play Beat the Limo. Okay, you're passing on an opportunity to go to Del Frisco's with a $200 gift certificate and the limo ride there and back.
Yes.
So don't be dumb.
Yeah.
Actually, wake up, make your picks against Justin, and you can beat his ass.
Yeah.
Because he's not that good at this.
I think he went 2-3 last week, but won because the opponent went 2-3 as well.
That's so funny.
Don't be dumb is a good life. That's a good thing.
That's so funny. Yeah. I'm in a thing with Justin. He went 13-2 last week.
Well, I don't know what he's doing.
His two losers is what he...
Well, he had three losers in this because he picked overs.
Oh, 2-3.
He picked overs instead of just picking games.
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, he's leading the season long. He's killing everybody, and he can't and beat the limo guy. He sucks.
He chokes.
He's a gag.
On the radio, he chokes. So, 8:30, caller 10. Tomorrow at 7:30, be ready if you win the chance.
Right. So 8:30 exactly, and then you got to be here at 7:30 tomorrow morning to play beat the limo guy. All right, let's get LSU Brian in here. What up, LSU Brian?
What's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
So Lance, I called a few days ago, and I was hating on your Astros, and I told you they weren't going to do nothing because they hadn't been hitting. So I called to give you your props. You called it. They actually showed up. And so that's the first thing. Second, I heard y'all giving your lineup for next year. You know what's sad is, what, 2-3 years later, you still did not put Forrest Whitley in there. What in the world?
No.
He was the most untradeable prospect we had. And it's a shame we never traded. We didn't get nothing for him. And the kid's just lost in purgatory. I don't understand it. That's still aggravating to me today.
John, think about that. We did not even...
he's not even a consideration.
We didn't even invoke his name.
No, he's not a consideration.
He couldn't make a COVID team.
No, he's been injured again. I mean, he's just, I don't know that there's been a prospect with more fanfare. Can you think of anybody in the system ever? That has been had more fanfare delivered
Darryl
less.
Ward, no.
Because he delivered nothing. Zero.
No, because the guys that I would have, you had Ty Gainey, but Ty Gainey was a great hitter, and I'm going all the way back into the 80s, but he was a slap hitter. Like, he'd hit 380, but he was never considered a huge prospect because, you know, he couldn't pull the ball. And so, no, I can't think of, other than injury, the short-circuited did someone's career. Mark Appel. I mean,
but
Mark Appel would be there.
Close than Forrest Whitley, because Forrest Whitley was untradeable.
Mark Appel
was
considered.
You got rid of Mark Appel right away, though.
I'm looking at...
Well, not right away.
Yeah.
Like after 3 years.
Yeah, but not... But Forrest Whitley has been, for the last 3 years, has been untradeable and unpitchable.
Well, the Houston Chronicle, you type in Forrest Whitley's name, now you have this baseball reference stats, you have his minor league stats come up, but the third result is Forrest Whitley, from untouchable... to untradeable, but not in the way you were talking
about.
Yeah. That's the headline about him
now. Untradeable. Who wants him?
No one, apparently.
Yeah.
What about
Phil Nevin?
Oh, untouchable to untradeable.
Untradeable. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
What about Phil Nevin?
But at least
he played in the big leagues.
Robbie Wine. I mean, he's a first-round catcher who didn't become a... But
Nevin was the number one overall pick.
Nevin had a good career. He just won with you.
Wasn't he the number one overall pick?
Robbie was your first round pick.
Yeah, but number one overall, Nevin.
No,
right?
I can't think of a flame out quite like Forrest Whitley, who had all that.
At least Nevin and Robbie Wine made the bigs.
Yeah, no, they played.
Yeah, Nevin went on to hit .270 with 208 home runs in his career.
Yeah.
He was a
but for the
pick.
Astros, over, number one overall pick,
yeah,
that's a... That's
he only
a,
played a, 18 games for the Astros.
Right. And Whitley, nothing. Zero. I mean, this is just... It's unbelievable. Yeah. He's not even a consideration anymore. No. Not even a consideration. That's just terrible. Chuck is here. What up, Chuck?
What's up, guys? Man, you remember Forrest ain't been the same ever since he got off the roids. And as far as the... rotation, I actually agree with Lance on this. I think you need to go Greinke or T.D. McCullers and keep Fromber and Vasquez for coming in after Greinke and T.D. and let McCullers go as long as he can. If it goes four, you got to go bullpen to get back to Greinke and Fromber. What do y'all think?
You know, so I was thinking about this. In a five-game series, obviously every game is just even more critical. And if you go five innings with one of your starters and you have a one-run lead, to be able to go to Javier or Fromber would just be so valuable, because winning a game is the most – I mean, it's the most important thing. Having somebody fourth or fifth – I mean, one of those guys is already going to be in the bullpen. We know that. But even have somebody fourth – fourth might not matter if you don't win. If you blow – you can't afford to blow a lead – and lose a game when you were leading after seven. You just can't afford to do that in a short series. This Astros team, they're not good enough offensively.
No, but you can't You got to have at least a four-man rotation. You have to have at least a four-man rotation because you can't ask the guy. Let's say Urquidy does go long in game one. You can't ask him on 2 days rest to go in game four.
No.
You just can't.
No. You have to have
at least a four-man rotation. The most you could do is he's got 3 days off and pitch in game five.
I'm saying Fromber in that role. I think that role is as important as one of the starters. To be able to close a game for four innings is to me, as if you know you can get the W, that's as important going Greinke-Fromber combination.
Okay, but then you're wasting, again, you're limited. Now, you still
Fromber
have,
can come back
you
off
have
that.
Some guys that you can count on, probably. Blake Taylor. You feel okay about Blake Taylor. You feel okay about a scrub. You feel okay about Brooks Raley. Josh James, I mean, maybe you get an inning out of him. I guess, okay. But you're very limited in Presley. You got to count on him to close. Listen, you have to count on Presley to come in there and get the job done. But you can't say Fromber and Javier. You both are in the pen, and we're going to do what we did in a three-game series because then you're screwed. If it's 2-1, you have no shot of winning game four because you can't throw game one starter in game four. You can't.
You can't. I'm just trying to – you know what? I'm sitting here trying to do a Sudoku that I can't figure out. The Astros pitch – for me, I know – did you ever watch Speed Cube?
No.
Did you watch it, Dale? It's insane. This autistic kid can solve a Rubik's Cube in like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Not just him.
Well, what about it's, the right offensive tackle that could do it behind his back?
Yeah, that's insane too because you know the pattern. This other kid who befriends him, who's the greatest Alex something, who's the greatest Rubik's Cube guy at one point. He befriends the autistic kid. Yeah.
You just say you're watching Speed Cube?
I watched it.
Oh, just now?
No.
He's doing a Sudoku, he said, but trying the Astros pitching.
But the speed cube is really more like it. Like, I couldn't, and the reason I brought it up, they can solve it fast. Uh-huh. I could stay on Rubik's Cube forever and not figure it out. That's what I'm trying to do with the Astros pitching staff. It's basically Rubik's Cube. There is just not enough. I just don't know the pattern that could solve this dilemma. But I did see speed cubers or speed cubes. It's a feel-good story about an autistic kid and his parents and how they, you know, he becomes more normalized into society, his interactions with people. He's able to interact with them through his being able to go to all these contests solving Rubik's Cubes. He can do it with one hand. And it hits the thing. He holds a record for like 12 seconds with one hand.
Look, that talent's cool and all, but do the girls like it?
I would think Rubik's Cube girls are a lot like LARPer girls. Mm-hmm.
Look, the talent, the socializing, okay, sure, great, but...
Are you getting some?
The girls like
it. Are you cashing in? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just asking, is that talent giving him the ability to socialize with? Who's most important? I don't care about his.
So
I don't
care
about
his
friends.
Are you a Rubik's Cube pimp?
No, I don't. No, I don't have Rubik's Cube hoes on the side.
You don't?
Waiting? No, I don't. I don't. No, that's not part of my job.
Well, it sounds like it. That's
he's just asking if that is something that gains the attention of the ladies.
Like he's a 5-star Rubik's Cube.
But what's that? Yeah,
so like you're Auburn and you got a briefcase. But your briefcase has a girl?
No, because...
Your briefcase is a girl?
No, it's like a visit... Tennessee don't act has like those. That didn't happen when you visit campus.
Oh, that's true.
Didn't Tennessee have those, what were they called?
The angels
hospitality,
or whatever?
Yeah,
whatever
the hospitality
they were called.
Girl.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what that's I'd be pissed about if my daughter was a hospitality girl?
I would be upset.
I'd be like, oh, really?
Get out.
Is that what you think? Get
out. Nothing happens, Dad. Except, one girl.
She did some
things. That's not
good. We don't talk about her anymore.
How did she become captain of the team, of the Angels then?
How about this? I heard stories from a guy named Chuck Gorman. He was from Louisiana. His name was Chuck Gorman. He was a tackle. Hey, brother, we call him Brother Gorman. So he was a white guy who had the Yat accent, you know. Lance, where they coming from? He had a Yat accent. And Chuck Gorman told us, I don't remember where he came from. He was somewhere between... between Baton Rouge and Louisiana, one of those areas, and south. I mean, Baton Rouge and New Orleans, and then south. You know how it goes. So he's like, he told us a story about his visitation when he went to, I think it was La Tech. He ended up at Tulane. He was roided out. He even told us he got kicked out of, the reason he was in freshman dorm is he got kicked out of the athlete dorm for ripping off a door and throwing it at somebody and beating some people up in the dorm. But so he told
us. So put him with Gen Pop then.
Yeah. So he put us with, freshmen, right. But he had his own room. And he told us what his visit was like going to, I'm pretty sure it was La Tech. I'm like, dang. He's like, they had these twins. I'm like, what? He told us a story and it wasn't just one school. He told us stories about three of the four schools he visited. And I'm just thinking, I didn't know this was a thing. Mm. Oh,
it's a thing.
That was a thing.
Oh, it's been a thing going on for a long
probably
time.
Not probably now, not though. Now, though. I'm sure it's cleaned up now.
Oh, yeah, probably not now.
What?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, sure, it's cleaned up
so
now.
So to the Rubik's Cube kid, shout out to you. I'm glad that he's found an avenue to be able to socialize.
Yeah.
But we, as men, we all know a lot of the reason we do things is to attract mm-hmm. the opposite sex. Like, wouldn't we be like, I can live in a house with like a lawn chair and a TV if it meant women would still want to sleep with me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right. We do things. So I hope that kid, I hope the Rubik's Cube thing works for him.
Well, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. The champion, yes. I'll just say this. He's the Zach Greinke of Rubik's Cube. And I'll leave it there.
That okay.
So if you're thinking that that's going to be the thing.
Yeah, probably not. How about this? I mean, you want to talk about what's going on over at Chastang Ford. They have got pre-owned vehicles, and they've got a pre-owned Ford Transit starting at $22,595. They have got, it's unbelievable, Broncos, Built Wild. They have got the website, customize your payments, value your trade, get a pre-approval, schedule the test drive, VIP delivery at home or in store. You can do everything from your home. And right now, the F-150 STX models, $28,999 or $499 a month with nothing down. It is ridiculous, the deals that they've got, $20,000 off expeditions. It's nonstop. Every single day. Chastang Ford ain't scared of telling you that we will compete with everybody in this city on price. Period. We're giving you everything that Ford and then some. So if you're looking for that Ford car or truck and you're looking for price, you got to shop Chastang Ford, and you can shop at home. You can do the whole thing at home, which you can't do at other dealerships because they're going to want you to come in because they're going to want to upsell you on tires, on window tint, on a leather, on everything. By the time you're done, it's $3,000 more, and you're like, what the heck happened to my price? That doesn't happen at Chastang Ford. Go to ChastangFord.com, see for yourself, or you can go into the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's 5 minutes from downtown. You're going to love the deal at Chastang Ford.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Dope!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
The league, XFL, has come out. They got the official statement out, and they're coming back in 2022. Somebody said, well, why not this year? I think it's just too much.
You just don't know.
Yeah.
We still don't know. Is there vaccine? You got to have people in the stands.
And I went to lunch with Jay Jameson yesterday, who was a media relations guy for the team. And
I didn't get invited to that.
No, well, you're not a roughneck. You're not.
Yeah, I am. I live in Houston. I'm a roughneck.
Well, you are a card carrying NFL guy who can't even.
I'm a roughneck.
Who can't even get their Steelers Titans game to get
played. You're Roger Goodell's cuck.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Hold on a second.
Where's your cavil? While you get that, let me give you some news. The Titans Steelers game won't be played Monday, Tuesday. They're going to have another positive test for a player and then another personnel person. So no game between them Monday or Tuesday.
They're
going to push it back to
They're going to work out.
Somehow, some way.
They're going to be able to finagle the deal.
Yeah, that's what happened with
Finagle the Ravens. They moved the Ravens game, and then they play the next week.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday. The Marlins, they said, no, we'll play it until they figured out we're going to have to shut you guys down for 2 weeks because
we were
guys
talking
keep
about the important league, but the Vikings just interrupted it. We were talking about the important league, and you just interrupted it.
Well, no, that's a major deal. Well, you even were talking about it earlier. Like, we need to know what's happening in this very important fantasy football matchup of the Titans Steelers. That's something you never said with the XFL.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about fantasy football.
Oh, yeah. Where's PJ? Oh, I got to know PJ
Walker. PJ Walker's in the league, brother.
Yeah, no, he downgraded.
He's in the league.
Because the XFL decided not to go. He said, I'll go. I guess I'll go over there.
Now he's third string behind Will Greer and Teddy. I mean, a Will Greer should be first string, obviously. But Teddy Bridgewater, Will Greer, who's an unbelievable quarterback.
Just if anything happens to Teddy Bridgewater, don't worry. PJ will be up there.
Oh, he'll jump. He should jump Will Greer. Will Greer stinks.
That shark. Whoa.
Yeah, he always.
Why are you hating?
In Iowa State, he took seven sacks for 96 yards.
Chase and Wayne, you hear him? He's going after you again.
He's not wrong. I wouldn't trust any ex-Florida quarterback. But I understand the hate. But I was given some information while he was getting the gavel to hit it on you because you called him Goodell's cuck. I was giving more NFL news since you brought the NFL back into it.
I don't need that crap. We're talking about the XFL.
What news do you have
in 2022?
So which game will get played first, an XFL game or this Titans Steelers game?
That's a good question. That is a damn good. Who will play first, the XFL or University of Houston?
Another good question.
Hey, I mean, you can't have an outbreak at any time. It's not like this is going to be. I mean, Houston could, at any week, their opponent could have an outbreak.
Yeah.
It's true.
Right.
I mean, you got people who are.
You will make up games in the AAC, though. They won't make up the North Texas game or the Baylor game, but they will make up. They've got it. They've got weeks. Weeks.
How many games
are
they going to have? Six.
They've got bye weeks, and they've got
They haven't missed a conference game. No, they missed Memphis, but they'll make
that
up.
They've already rescheduled it.
Can they get to a conference championship
playing one game?
Yeah,
playing six games.
Yeah,
well, possibly.
Yeah,
five games. Yeah,
they could.
They could.
Well, you can't keep them out. I mean, that's not fair.
That's not fair either. No,
but right now I think they have eight games. Is that what it comes out to be now? When the Memphis games finally gets put on the schedule. Because I think that's what it is normally in the AAC. Eight conference games? Is that what it is?
I think so.
So, Cougars will have a relatively full season. Right now, as John mentioned, we're going to Tulane, then BYU, which will be out of conference. Navy, UCF, Houston, Cincinnati, South Florida. That's six. And the Memphis game is scheduled for December 5th. So, you have SMU, Tulsa, Houston. So, right now, a nine-game schedule.
Yeah, they're still on pace. They're still on pace.
Nine-game schedule
right now.
Even missing
four straight weeks.
Yeah.
Any roughneck game would be better than Broncos-Jets tonight.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
That's potentially true.
You don't want to see Sam Darnold versus
Brett
Rippin?
It's a snuff film. Every Sunday he goes out there is like a snuff film. Of course, kind of like that with the Texans right now.
Why was snuff film?
11 hits.
So
you know what that is?
You guys want to judge yourselves?
Wait a minute. Goodell, Cuck, snuff film?
Yeah, we
got to
figure that out. Who was worse this segment?
You. Him.
Me?
You use snuff film.
People die in that. Okay.
Well, I'll add.
To be fair,
I'll add this. Wouldn't a man's soul die if he's watching his wife taking it from another dude?
Whoa.
No.
Wouldn't your soul die a little bit?
Sam Darnold's soul has already died. Did you see his post game press conference last week? They've killed that man. They killed that man's soul.
Adam Gase.
Crazy Eyes is just. I don't know how Crazy Eyes makes it through the season. And I'm not talking about Sam Darnold. I'm talking about Adam Gase.
He had his back.
What an auspicious debut at the press conference.
Yeah.
With those crazy eyes he had. If you never saw it, just type it. Well, just type in Adam Gase, and it's the first thing that's going to pop up.
Crazy eyes. Let's get David in here. He wants to talk about McCullers. What do you say, David?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I don't know the fascination with McCullers that Lance has because he's almost like Ken Giles. He'll be humming along. All of a sudden, he'll get one person on base, and then he loses his crap. He is not mentally strong. And if the only reason he did well in the postseason was when he threw 26 straight, curveballs or breaking balls, is because he can't spot his fastball. he's been with Justin Verlander for how long, and he still can't spot his fastball. And, you know, he can barely make it out of the third inning. Okay, he did it two games in a row. Okay, and you're going to trust him? I'll listen to you guys. Thanks.
I don't know what difference. I don't know what you can do. You have to trust him. You don't trust it. There's very few pitchers on his staff who you can trust. And by the way, I completely agree with you. Lance McCullers has the Tim Redding syndrome, where he hits a bump in the road and he falls apart. And it has been like that dating back to 2017. You're completely right about that. What you're not right about is here are his starts this year. His last eight starts, 7-5 2/3, 5-7-0 earned runs, 5 2/3, 2-5-4, 6-1, 0-3. We know about that one.
He said four.
Then he was hurt. He came
four
back.
Four horrific starts.
He came back 7-0, 6 2/3, 0 earned runs, 4-0. In his last three, he's gone 17 2/3. He has struck out 24, and he's given up 7 hits. I mean, let's slow down on acting like Lance McCullers is some kind of scrub. I do agree with you. I know that he breaks down when he has a little adversity, but this has not been a bunch of 4 2/3 innings. That's just simply not accurate. What you just said is not accurate, and this is a different arm that he has. He talked about the surgery he had. He goes, I basically have a brand new arm. He said, this is a complete, and he also changed some arm slot stuff. I'm not disagreeing with what you said, but necessarily that he has issues mentally. But you're also incorrect when you say he can't spot fastball. He's not great at it, but he got better at it this year. They went back to using more fastballs. Machete even said he got Lance McCullers to stop waving everything off, because when he does that, it's a curveball for sure. He goes back to old reliable instead of trusting his fastball. And he did. And he started trusting Machete with his calls. And Maldonado is calling more fastballs. And he has located better. You know, in terms of his walk numbers this year, his walks to strikeout was 56-20. That's not terrible for Lance McCullers. It's not terrible.
No, his last three outings have been good. Really good. Really good.
They were really, really
17
good.
17 2/3.
Texas, Seattle, zero Texas. Earned runs. Texas, Seattle, Texas. You have to factor that in a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm not saying he dominated Dodgers.
No, but you got to look at the starts before that too. I mean, he's had a rough go of it.
Yeah,
I mean, he's had at least four really terrible starts. And. And let's face it, he has not been good on the road, well, except these last two starts.
One of them that you're going to call really terrible, he had a no-hitter, and then they opened the roof, and there was like 7 home runs after that between the two teams. That was that Arizona game, which is his third game.
It was in the third inning he had a no-hitter.
But since, go back to...
In the fourth inning.
Right. But go back, but then they opened the roof, and I think mental... But that kind of gets to the point that I think it can get in his head like Lima.
Let's not go no-hitter.
Go to August
10th. It was
10th.
Three innings.
Go to that's Brian McTaggart's already talking about no-hitters then. It only takes 3 innings.
Okay.
Go to his start after that, August 10th. Since that time, how many bad starts has he had? Bad starts. I would not call. I think he's
two of
had
his next four were bad starts.
Two
of his next four.
Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
since
7,
August
8.
10th.
Two of 8.
Two of his next four.
But the total is 8.
7.
Add them all. No. Add them all. Add that one.
Since August. Oh, you're adding August 10th.
August 10th, yeah.
Oh.
August
since
10th.
August 5th, he's had 8 starts. And two of them were bad, right?
Yeah, that's not bad. That's what I'm saying. That narrative that he just called with is just not accurate.
But again, he's a different guy on the road. The outlier is the last two starts on the road. If you look at his splits, historic in his career,
yep,
he is pitiful on the road.
And he hasn't been good this year on the road, other than the last two
starts.
But you are. You're not who you were earlier in the season. You are who you are now. is how most pitchers are going to look at it. Like, why would I talk about a hitter?
But again, that's the outlier. The last two starts are the outlier.
I understand the last three starts. When you're saying last two on the road
starts.
But how he's pitching now is how the Astros are going to view him. The same way if a guy was hot hitting, and he's not a good hitter on the road, but he's hitting hot and he just hit on the road.
I don't know. I just can't forget the whole history, Lance. I know it's the last two starts.
I can't either. I know, but you don't have a choice. Lance McCullers is pitching.
He's pitching.
I don't know what y'all want. Lance McCullers is going
to
pitch.
But to me, he's game three.
Don't forget, this guy pitched in game seven of the World Series.
But
he also hit like three hitters.
Yeah, and he threw 900 straight curveballs.
No, that was in relief against the Yankees.
No, well, thank you, but that was great too.
It was he won.
That was game seven of the Yankees.
He was clutch.
It was game seven of the Yankees. Yes,
he was in New York. He was clutch doing it.
Yeah.
He has been in high leverage situations.
Wasn't in New York. Wasn't that at home that he did that?
Actually, it was.
No,
it was at home.
Because
they didn't win a game in New York.
They didn't win any road games in New York.
Yeah, they didn't win in New York.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. That was at home, yeah. I was on the road in a restaurant in Chicago watching the game.
You were on the road. Lance was at home. Yeah.
The other Lance was at home.
Yeah, but he kind of won with me on the road.
That doesn't matter so much.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:48 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Who's our contestant, by the way? Do we have one for tomorrow? We're going to play Beat the Limo Guy tomorrow morning at 7:30. We have a contestant. Who is it?
Name is Taylor.
Taylor. Nice. All right, Taylor. Study up. And let's go. Beat Justin because he sucks. He really sucks at this thing. I think he might be listening right now. But he is. It's amazing. He's destroying our league in Pick'em. You have to pick every game every week. He's destroying it, and then he sucks at Beat the Limo Guy. He's a gag. When it comes playoff time, he's a gag.
Or
he's
A-Rod. He's a guy who likes the listener and gives them a better chance.
No, that's not it. No, that's not
it
at all.
That's not good business.
That's not good business at all. So yesterday, we have to talk a little Texans, okay? First of all, they're going to play, right? They're still playing on Sunday. That's the latest word.
Unless Minnesota pops a positive today.
Yeah, they didn't practice yesterday, but we haven't heard about them getting any positive, which would mean that transmission between teams during games isn't as big of a threat as we thought, because the Titans continue to get players testing positive, and Minnesota hasn't had one yet.
Yeah.
Do we have a list of all the players who it was?
I don't think they're doing that.
See,
so
it might
far.
Not have been starters.
Yeah, who knows? But at least we're at about, what, six or seven?
I did see one.
I thought I saw like a long, was it a snapper or a punter?
No, I did see a name of somebody yesterday who got put on the reserve coronavirus list.
Yeah, and speaking of that, the Texans were notified after the Pittsburgh game that they had a couple people test positive, two members of the organization, but it turns out they were false positives. So they avoided an issue. But also, John, you asked me to grab it. We have Bill O'Brien on Earl Thomas.
Well, here's
as well.
Bill O'Brien yesterday talking about Earl Thomas and the whole situation of him not working out for the team.
We had a unique past couple days here. So we lost A.J. Moore in the game on Sunday. And so whenever that happens at any position, you know, we get together, we look at our own team. What can we do with our own team? We look at what's out on the street. And then yesterday, you know, early in the morning, we got a phone call from the league relative to Minnesota, Tennessee, what was going on there with those two teams. So they just, you know, basically, hey, just relative to our game this Sunday. So we decided to, we had a bunch of guys in here ready to work out. We said instead of keeping those guys holed up in a hotel, potentially, you know, to be there for several days, we didn't know at that point that it was better for us to just cancel the workouts. We had several workouts. Earl Thomas is a hell of a player. He's had a great career. And, you know, again, we had a bunch of guys in and we decided to cancel. And, you know, we'll see how it goes, you know, moving forward. But that's really what it was. It's not anything other than that. And, you know, got a lot of respect for Earl.
So, you buying that?
No, not really.
I don't know what to believe and not to believe.
I don't care. I'm not mad at it. I mean,
and some people have called it an Earl Thomas fiasco or something. What? I mean, why? First of all, Earl Thomas coming in here and playing. First of all, how good is Earl Thomas? Secondly, you know all of this stuff all over him, all the crap.
Nobody wants him. He had a messy exit in from two straight teams.
If he did come in here, it would be a bigger story than him not working out, quite frankly. It would be, man, how is that guy going to be in the locker room? Is he going to punch anybody in there? Are you selling your soul to, you know?
Is he going
to
punch anyone? If you have to ask yourself, is someone going to punch anyone? I just feel like you shouldn't sign that guy. Well, like, you probably have to ask that about Greg Hardy, Frank Clark. Those are guys who are teammate punchers. So, like, Greg Hardy, Frank Clark, now Earl Thomas. You hate to have to ask yourself, is this guy going to punch anyone in our locker room?
Is his brother hanging around all the time?
Well, as long as the women aren't around, then what's the matter?
Are they wearing? He and his brother wearing masks when they're doing stuff? You know what? Because that's kind of important.
Well, yeah.
I don't care about Earl, and I don't care about Bill O'Brien, even if he's not telling the truth, which I think maybe Janice McNair did get involved. Maybe she did.
And then again, maybe not.
Who knows? Or maybe it was, I don't know. But he might be telling the truth. But even if he's not, he's doing what a coach is kind of, what teams are kind of, they do this out of courtesy. You don't want to say something negative and kill a guy's chances to play for another team. So out of respect to the agent and out of respect to the player, you prop him up, say, no, this is, we got canceled and he's a great player and all that stuff. You know, you promote it and you pump it up and you give the guy a chance maybe to sign with another team. So that's kind of doing this, doing the player and the agent a solid, if O'Brien wasn't being completely honest, but he might have been honest.
Well,
I don't know. I mean, you're still getting COVID tests. I don't know why you can't work guys out. You can also work guys out from, you know, be relatively socially distanced as well.
Right. I mean, if they test negative, I mean, you get the test back and they're negative. What's the difference? And you stay away from them and then you just work them out. I don't know. I don't know. But they did. They had their own situation that I don't know that. Did you know about this when the game went off?
What?
Their situation?
No, I'd never heard that.
Yeah, I'd never heard this
about
either.
The false positive?
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Well, So here's Bill O'Brien. When he was asked about the Titans and the Vikings and their situation, and this is what Bill O'Brien had to say.
John, earlier, I'm not sure that, and I'll give you the details. So we were in Pittsburgh. I don't mind talking about it. I mean, it's been a unique 3 days. We were in Pittsburgh. We had two. We were notified at, I think it was around midnight, in Pittsburgh, playing the next day, that we had two members of our organization that were positive. So we then had to go to the Connexon contact tracing to find out how many people they had been around. So we had to wake up several players at 5 a.m. to get tested, point of care testing. And then we found out that those two tests were false positives. So, you know, I think this is a situation that's unprecedented. Like I said from the beginning, it's no excuse for I'm just giving you guys the facts, you know, of what's gone on the last 3 days. So, you know, I don't think it's like a major, major story. It's just, these are the facts. These are what we're dealing with. Tennessee's dealing with it. You know, Minnesota is dealing with it. So we've been told by the league to expect to play, and that's what we're doing. We're practicing. We just met. We're still meeting. We're going to practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and get ready to play the game on Sunday. But these are the things that every organization, not just us, are dealing with on a daily basis.
That was a good bit of information. Yeah. You know, didn't know that, and it gives you some insight into what a team has to go through during COVID. These are it's taken obviously very seriously, because if it spreads throughout the league, season's put on hold, and they don't. Nobody wants that, and so no one wants in-game transmission, or that will shut down two teams. You know, so
well to answer your question about who the COVID players were for the Titans, it was a starting nose tackle, Daquan Jones. So in the trenches, the long snapper, not as often in the trenches, but in the trenches as well. There was a tight end, a practice squad tight end, and then Correa, their linebacker, Conway, not a starter. Correa, yeah. So they did have a couple guys who were in close proximity to other players quite a bit, and no in-game transmission that we could tell so far.
Daquan Jones would be the guy that you would think, because that's a physical. Now, they have specialized masks, and maybe that shows that the mask that they're wearing.
Well, did they wear them? I didn't see.
Well, you know, I don't know if he was wearing that shield or not.
I don't think many NFL players have decided. Only guy I've seen wear one is Keelan Cole. He was a kick returner or punt returner for the Jags and a wide receiver. That's the only one I've seen wear one of those masks, and he's wearing one. But Daquan Jones, as far as I can tell, or Daquan, however you pronounce it, haven't seen him with one of those masks, but he did test positive, and no Minnesota offensive lineman has so far. So maybe in-game transmission isn't a big threat.
I don't know how it wouldn't be. These guys are sweating all over it. If they've got the open face mask, there's more droplets being all over the place than next to basketball.
Yeah. Well, Manny Diaz, Miami head coach, former Texas defensive coordinator, he tracked his team's practices in the spring to determine how often guys were even in within that little 15-minute thing where it says transmission is at its highest. And he said, we never had guys in the same vicinity like that for more than, I don't know, you combine it like 2 minutes if you combine all the times they're face-to-face. Now, football's different. You're breathing harder. It makes it probably a little bit potentially dangerous. But he said, throughout a practice, we're not, if you combine the minutes, we're not that close to each other. It's like seconds at a time. That's what plays are. So if this is, I think, would be good news if the Vikings don't test positive when you have a starting nose tackle on the other side who had it.
I'm talking to a company out of Sweden who they do player tracking through machine learning and AI technology, 4K cameras, things like that. And they do it in soccer, and we're going to help them get into football and into America to do NFL stuff. It's incredible. I think they can track limbs, wrist, elbows, shoulders, knees, it's unbelievable. Well, they can track players from a proximity standpoint and give reports about how close one player was to any other players on the field, at what point they were within a certain distance from them. They could, with their machine learning, with the computers, and they could have results within actually minutes of basically like contact tracing without having to spend a ton of money. And that's one of the things that they've talked about, potentially being able to do that for different leagues, especially because they're not as expensive as like a Zebra with those chips or Catapult with the wearable technology. The computer can sit and tell, it knows what your number is, and it can tell how far you are, and it logs how close you were to people the entire time. And so I think tracing, in-game tracing, is going to be very essential moving forward, because – you know, based on all the information we're getting, everything that CDC is saying and Fauci's saying, and the makers of even some of the vaccines are saying, is, hey, I mean, COVID's going to be around. It's not like it's not going to go away. They're talking about face masks are going to be, you know, face masks are still going to be around even after a vaccine. So the NFL, Major League Baseball, basketball, everything, they're still going to have to be aware of when there's an outbreak of trying to slow it down, unless it really weakens and truly becomes the flu and we get mass vaccine usage. They're probably going to have this protocol next year too, with everything in place. But you know, the NFL does not want a situation where they're not having more fans in the stands.
Nope.
Like, they can't exist.
Nope. 9 o'clock, ESPN 975-7378-0-3776 if you want to hang with us.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have three-layer nano silver protection. Order now at boomernaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.
Hey, Fred Fowler from the Blitz here.